You're turning to 56 in the Christmas book. I'll read the announcements for the coming week. As much as possible, shall we kneel in prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we would bow our knees before Thee this morning, we're truly thankful. Thankful for Your bounty, for Your mercies, for Your compassion. Thankful, Father, for the year that You've given us. Thankful for this season and for the birth of Thy Son. Praying, Father, that as we lay hold of the hope that Thou hast given us, that our lives would be shining examples, witnesses of You and Your Son to the children of men. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would continue to bless us, that You'd watch over our families, that You would guide and direct our thoughts and our desires. I pray forgiveness, Father, for the weaknesses that lie within us, those things that would hinder our service. Unto Thee I pray, Father, that You would strengthen us. I pray against the forces and the powers of Satan in our lives, that You would rebuke him for Your name's sake, that he would have no influence. I pray this morning, Father, as we meet together, that Thy Spirit would be in the midst of this congregation, that You'd pour Your Spirit of understanding, Your Spirit of peace, of well-being. I pray, Father, that You'd be with Chandra this day, that Your Spirit would be poured out upon her, that You would heal her of the affliction that is upon her, that You'd bring not only a physical healing, but peace and comfort to her heart and to her mind. As our sister Melissa would come forward this morning to be administered to, I pray, Father, that You'd look down upon her in Your mercy and Your compassion, that You'd see her need, that You'd bless her, Father. I pray for our brother who will stand before us this morning to deliver Thy words. I pray that Your Spirit would even now be poured out upon him, that You would open his understanding even further, that You would loosen his tongue, and that the words he speaks would be clear to our understanding, that You'd open our hearts and our minds to receive the message that Thou would have for us this day. We leave ourselves in thy care, once more thanking thee for the privilege of being here, thanking you for calling us out of this world, and thanking you, Father, for your love and your mercy and your compassion, for we do ask it in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now have a special.
Did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your precious baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the tongue will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this little child you're holding is the great
I'd now ask that you give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Dwayne Ealy.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you, Joel, for that beautiful special. And I would like to thank everyone who, during this Christmas season, has sang a special, or for those who have participated in the play. I know that those things are a blessing to each one of us, and they uplift us and strengthen us. And I want you to know that I appreciate them. And the Lord also appreciates your efforts. You know, it's been said in life that there are two things that are certain in life. One is death, and one is taxes. I can agree with death. Each one of us will die. Taxes, perhaps not. All of us pay taxes, don't we? But I doubt if those in the penitentiary pay taxes. And I'm not proposing that we get arrested so we don't have to pay taxes. They probably don't pay taxes. There's probably many people in this world that don't pay taxes. But death is certain. There's one other thing that's certain in life. Can anybody tell me what that is? There may be several, but there's one I'm thinking of.
Resurrection.
Resurrection. Judgment.
Judgment.
Trials.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Death. Yes, death. The one I'm thinking of is change. Change is certain in this life. Things are going to change. However they are today, they're going to be different tomorrow, aren't they? Changes can be good or bad, though, can't they? And many changes are out of our control. You know, we need to be diligent in keeping our good habits and changing our bad habits. You know, that's the way the Lord wants us to do, isn't it? But not the other way around. But that happens sometimes too, doesn't it? Where we keep our bad habits and change our good habits. Go opposite to the ways of our Lord. Truly, life will change. But there's one thing that's certain in this life. One thing that will never change. Let's turn over to Mormon, chapter 4, verses 66 to 68. And this is on page 710. And again, I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healings, nor speaking with tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. That's something we can count on, even though there may be changes in this life. That God will never change. There is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. The same, yesterday, today, and forever. It talks about, in verse 66, about these gifts, the prophecies, revelations, healings. Those are the same from the beginning, because God never changes. Let's turn on over to Moroni, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. This is on page 776. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. Never forget that every good gift comes from Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. These gifts are here for all time. And if we do not have these things in our life, what does it say? Never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Change, huh? Man changes. And if those things are not in our life, that's because we have changed. But God has not changed. And all of those things are available to us. Everything that God proclaimed from the very beginning is still in effect. It's still available to each one of us. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 41. This is on page 634. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. That's what we need to build on, that rock. We know that that rock is Jesus Christ and His doctrine. That's how we need to build our life. On that rock, on that doctrine of Jesus Christ, that is the same from the beginning of time to the end. That's something that will never change, His doctrine. That's something we can always go back to, no matter what changes we see in this life, in this world. God will never change. You know, in a few days, we'll be starting a new year, won't we? It's a time when many people make New Year's resolutions. And I've never been real big on New Year's resolutions. Mainly because I never follow through on them. But we do need to have goals in our life. Not just this time of year, but every day of our life. Not just the beginning of a new year, but always we need to have a goal. We need to have a desire in our heart to do better spiritually. It's something we need to always work on. And if we have that desire in our heart, our Lord and Savior will help us with those things. In an article I read in a paper by Jean Tchaikovsky, she says, America's number one New Year's resolution for 2003 was to get a grip on their money, from reducing credit card debt to building overall fiscal fitness, according to several surveys. John C. Norcross, a University of Scranton psychologist professor and co-author of Changing for Good, has studied resolution makers and found that after 2 weeks, 29% of the people falter. In just 2 weeks, they've given up. After a month, it's 36%. And after 3 months, a full 50% have given up. They've given up on those goals. Whatever they were, it wasn't important to them, really, was it? They gave up on it. Still Norcross, who prefers to see the glass as half full, emphasizes that making clear resolutions is 10 times better than not making any at all. He says that only 4% of people he studied managed to change their behavior without resolutions. Interesting, isn't it? There's got to be something inside of us, doesn't there? Something inside us that wants us to change. And we need to have a goal. We need to have that goal in sight. We need to know where we're going, don't we? It applies to our spiritual life in the same way, doesn't it? No matter what we're doing in life, we need to focus on it. Whatever we're trying to do, whatever we're trying to change, we have to focus on it. I think many people make New Year's resolutions because it's just the thing to do. It's a New Year, so let's make some resolutions. Even though they needed to change them in July. We'll wait till New Year's, and then we'll make that resolution. Then after 2 weeks, they forget about it. Chances are next year they'll make another resolution. They forgot about the old one. They knew they couldn't do it. So they didn't even try again. But it's something we need to work on every day of our life. We can't do it alone, can we? We need God's help. And He's promised to be faithful to us. If we have that earnest desire to follow after Him, He's promised to guide us and direct us in whatever problem we may have in our life. We know that the spiritual ones are the most important. But we know that the temporal ones can lead us to destruction too. I'm sure that everyone here today would like to change something in their life. Something they would like to do better. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We all have sins in our life. So we all have something that we need to change. Something that we need to work on. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess our sins. We need to admit that we have things that we need to change in our life. And if we do, He will help us. He will forgive us. He will strengthen us and help us we might be able to achieve those goals. You know, earlier I said that change is certain in life. And it surely is. I would like to cover three areas of change in our life. The first one is our bodies. Our bodies change, don't they? From conception, the baby grows rapidly in the womb, doesn't it? Changing minute by minute, continually until birth. And the mother's body changes also, doesn't it? We have some new mothers here. They know all about that, as well as the old mothers, but it's fresh in these new mothers' minds that their body changes. You know, and as babies grow up and get older, they change in all sorts of ways as they're growing. You know, they have something they call the terrible twos. Something children go through. It's a phase of life, but it's a change. You know, they get to be teenagers. They've got hormones raging through their bodies. Many changes are going through them. They're becoming independent. They're drawing away from their parents. They're starting to make that separation. And they discover something. They discover how much smarter they are than their parents. Don't they? But when they get in their 20s, they start to realize that maybe their parents were a little bit smarter than they thought. Part of life. Part of changes. The other day I was raking my leaves in my yard, and I got a sliver in my finger off my rake. It's about a half inch long. Of course, I tried to dig it out, but I broke about an eighth of an inch off of it. And the rest of it was stuck in there pretty deep. But what did my body do as soon as that sliver got in there? It started working on it, didn't it? Trying to get rid of it. It didn't need anybody to tell it that it had a sliver there. It knew automatically. It started working on it. Trying to prevent it from destroying the rest of the body. Sometimes we're not so good about that, are we? Something creeps into our life. We don't start working on it right away, do we? Let it grow. Get infected. Can even destroy us. And as we grow older, get elderly, many changes, don't we? Many changes to this body. You know, I heard Red Skelton say one time that when men go bald, that they don't really lose their hair. It just goes underground and comes out their ears. Maybe it's not true, but men do go bald. And hair does start growing out their ears, doesn't it? Part of those changes to our body. A lot of them we can't control, can we? Our body's continually changing, producing new skin. It's continually working. Even though the body ages, God has told us how we're supposed to be spiritually, hasn't He? No matter how old we are, He has told us how we're to be spiritually. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. No matter what age we are, no matter what changes we've had in this body, we are to be like a little child. And if not, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pretty strong words, aren't they? Those are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We've got to be humble like this little child. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi. Chapter 5, verse 40. It's just one verse before the last one we read here. And again, I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. This scripture is read a lot over this pulpit. It has so much in it in such a small verse. We must repent. Repent of our sins. And be baptized in my name, in Christ's name, and become as this little child. Humble, submissive, faithful to our Lord and Savior. Putting our whole trust in our Lord and Savior. That is what we are commanded to do. And if we don't, we can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God expects out of this spiritual body. Even though this temporal body may break down. We know that the spiritual is by far the most important. It is what will endure for eternity. My next section is that the world changes and our lives change. You know, some of these things we can control, and others we have no control over whatsoever. These things that happen in this temporal world. Several of these I got out of the paper just this last week. Just things that happened. This week, mad cow disease was discovered in a single Holstein cow near Yakima, Washington. We have brothers and sisters that live near Yakima, Washington, that are in the cattle business. Could be important to them. Japan and South Korea immediately banned imports of U.S. beef. I read just, I think it was yesterday, now there's 25 countries that have banned the import of U.S. beef. One quote from the paper said, "The fact that this shows up in one cow in Washington could wreck the entire U.S. beef industry." Now they're saying that this cow came from Alberta, Canada, in a lot of 74. Something changed just overnight, didn't it? Maybe it's the only one. Maybe this is will be the end of it. We don't know. Yesterday, an earthquake in Iran killed 20,000 people and injured another 30,000. Officials think that death total may double, may go to 40,000. Life for them changed, didn't it? The world changed just like that. On December 17th, 1903, Orville Wright's historic airplane flight lasted just 12 seconds and covered a distance of about 120 feet, a measurement shorter than the wingspan of many modern airlines. That 100th year anniversary just happened just last week. And if you saw in the news, they tried to reenact this. Here, 100 years later, they tried to reenact this. And I realized that the conditions were not ideal. But they couldn't duplicate that short flight. Even though it was only 120 feet, they couldn't duplicate it. In 1987, for the first time, airplanes carried more than 1 billion passengers worldwide. That's in 87. Carried a billion passengers. Look what old Orville got started with that little 120-foot flight. In 2002, Hartsfield Atlantic International Airport ranked as the world's busiest airport with nearly 77 million passengers going through one airport in 1 year. When all flights over the United States were grounded for about 1 day following the terrorist attack of September 11, 2001, U.S. skies were free of aircraft for the first time in 100 years. All of those were changes, weren't they? We went from somebody starting out with that first flight to where airline traffic today. You can get anywhere in the world. You can get to Africa in only 30 hours. Sounds like a long flight, doesn't it? How long would it take you by horseback and boat to get to Kenya? And how long would it take you to get back? Change in the world. Air flight changed our missionary work drastically. You know, before Orville took that flight, we couldn't have done the missionary work we're doing today. It would have been impossible. Trips to the Philippines, it would have been impossible. Things changed. Part of God's plan. But look what else the terrorists did with those airplanes. Killed several thousand people, didn't they? Using those same airplanes that are going to help us in the missionary field. And we know that life will never be the same again as it was before September 11th. It will never be the same. It has changed forever as long as we're in this temporal body. We didn't have control of that, maybe, but it happened. It changed. We have many people that have, or several couples that have got married recently. It's a change in their life. But I'm sure they've discovered already that they can't change their spouses. Some of them have children now. Our brother Aaron, he's had the opportunity to change a diaper. a change in his life. You know, in my immediate family, I am now the oldest generation at 51 years old. My grandparents have passed away, and my parents have passed away. That's a change in my life, isn't it? Changes at work. My company changes every few years. They head off in some direction, heading for some goal. They jump on that train and head off in that direction. But before they ever get there, they change directions and head somewhere else. But it's all a part of life. You know, here several weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we had one of our brothers stand up and talk about his job. That he was concerned about that. It was consuming a lot of his time. He had a desire to do the Lord's will. But it was a change in his life. And I know that the Lord will help him with that. Whatever decision he needs to make. You know, sometimes God asks us to make changes. Asks us to do things that maybe we really didn't want to do. Let's look at a good example of this in 1 Nephi, chapter 1, starting there in verse 24. This is on page 4. We're all familiar with this story. Sometimes I don't think we really analyze what's going on here. What the Lord asked Lehi and his family to do. I'm going to read 24 through 29. For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and saith unto him, blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done, and because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I have commanded thee. Behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. And he left his house and the land of his inheritance, and his gold and his silver and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family, and provisions and tents, and he departed into the wilderness. Be a little tough, wouldn't it? To give up everything. If the Lord came here today and said, you need to go into the mountains, take nothing, you're never coming back, be a big change for us, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be easy, because your life has changed forever. But that's what the Lord asked them to do. And we know it's for a good reason, don't we? We know that destruction was coming upon Jerusalem. And that they were coming to a promised land. They were coming to a better place. But it wouldn't be easy. Let's go over here to verse 38. And see how Laman and Lemuel took this. Now this he spake because of the stiff-neckedness of Laman and Lemuel. For behold, they did murmur in many things against their father, because that he was a visionary man, and that he had led them out of the land of Jerusalem to leave the land of their inheritance and their gold and their silver and their precious things and to perish in the wilderness. And this they said that he had done because of the foolish imaginations of his heart. And thus Laman and Lemuel, being the eldest, did murmur against their father. And they did murmur because they knew not the dealings of that God who had created them. Neither did they believe that Jerusalem, that great city, would be destroyed according to the words of the prophets. They didn't want to make that change, did they? Lehi, a godly man, he made that change and he was faithful to God all the days of his life. Laman and Lemuel, they fought that change. And they were evil all the days of their life, weren't they? We never know what change the Lord has in store for us. One thing that's certain, though, it'll be a little bit different for each one of us. But we need to be receptive to those things that our Lord has for us. Now let's look at the third section. We've talked about how our body changes and how the world changes. Now let's look at the last one of how we change. How our minds change, how our thoughts change, how our habits change. You know, sometimes we change for good, don't we? But sometimes we change for evil. It's hard in this world today, in this society we live in America, this blessed and promised land that God established for us. The people are turning away from the Lord and Savior. They were following after the evil things of this world. And it's easy for us to get caught up in those things and to jump on that bandwagon because it's the easy way. To be sinful today in this country is the easy way. People on the street aren't going to persecute you for being sinful unless you do something really bad. And there aren't very many things today that are considered really bad in this society. That's the easy way, isn't it? It's a little harder to make that change the other direction. That change to do good in every aspect of our life. That one's a little harder. But it's what our Lord has asked us to do. You know, we had one of our sisters get up in a testimony meeting here just a few weeks ago, talking about how she would like to make a change in her life. Make a change in her conversation. And like I said earlier, whatever it is, I know that each one of us has one or more things. Some of us may have several things that we want to change. And we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Only through our Lord and Savior seeking, diligently seeking Him, can we make these changes in our life? But if we are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us and helping us with these endeavors. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 17, verses 71 to 82. This is on page 441. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning this thing which our fathers call a ball or director, or our fathers call the lihona, which is being interpreted a compass, and the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to shew unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that these spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle, and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did shew unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence, and then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. God had set up a plan for them, hadn't He? Just like He set up a plan for us in our lives. If we will change and turn away from the things of this world, He has a straight course for us. But we see that He gave them this device to guide them and direct them. But they had to have faith, didn't they? They had to have faith in our Lord and Savior. And when they didn't have faith, what happened? It didn't guide them anymore. That can be the same way with our Lord and Savior. That Holy Spirit will work in our lives to guide us and direct us. But if we turn our back on it and go the ways of the world, those same things can happen to us. That it will not lead us and it will not guide us until we get our faith back. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness or did not travel a direct course and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow, as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass. Now, these things were temporal. They did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. We see it's the same way with anything in our life, whether it's temporal or spiritual. Our Lord will always be there to guide us and direct us if we are faithful unto Him. For behold, it is easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point them a straight course to the promised land. We see it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Our Lord and Savior has set that course in these scriptures that He has given us. That straight course to the promised land, if we will just follow after it. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers, for so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. We need to have that faith in our Lord and Savior. And He will guide us and direct us through everything in our life, just like this compass did, to guide them on their journey. We are on a spiritual journey through this life, and our Lord is there to guide us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Verses 16 through 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? These things he had done. He had not committed these sins. But he's asking the Lord, What do I lack? What do I lack? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had kept the commandments, hadn't he? Except for this one thing. This one thing was keeping him out of eternal life. He was very rich. And what does he do when the Lord tells him this? He goes away sorrowful. He did not want to change that one thing. He was not going to do it. But his life was not complete without that. If you look up that word perfect in this text, it means complete. You know, if we take a puzzle and put it together, all but one piece, it's not complete, is it? It's not complete. There's something missing. I put a puzzle together before. You got a 1,000-piece puzzle. You have no idea if one piece is missing. You get to the end and there's one piece missing. Some of these puzzles, you may have worked on them for days. It's kind of irritating, isn't it? You got everything else there, but just that one piece. Kind of nags at you, doesn't it? You want to throw the puzzle in the garbage. It's missing something. It's not complete. And that can be the way our spiritual lives are. If there are those things in our life that we do not want to change, that we refuse to change, our spiritual life is not complete. It is lacking something. We need to be mindful of these things. Be mindful of these things that we need to change in our lives. Whatever it might be. You know, earlier this year, I preached a sermon where I compared our spiritual life to a diet. And somehow, when I was going through my notes, I missed one scripture. Somehow I overlooked it. I didn't realize it till I was done. Maybe that scripture was meant to come forth now. I don't know. Because it applies in this sermon today, too. In my notes in that other sermon, I had that most diets work for a while, but they do not last because people don't change their habits. It requires a change. Diets will never work unless you change something. They may work temporarily. It says that 98% of them fail. 98% of diets fail. That's a high percent, isn't it? But it's because people didn't want to change their habits. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 3, verse 19. This is on page 314. And now I ask of you, on what conditions are you saved? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? What is this cause of your being loose from the bands of death? Yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true, and behold, he preached the word unto our fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts, and they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful until the end, therefore they were saved. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received His image in your countenance? Have you experienced that mighty change in your hearts? That's what is required of us, that we have that mighty change in our hearts. That we repent of our sins. That we forsake our sins. And that we have that desire in our heart to follow after our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 3. It's on page 223. Starting at verse 1. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people, if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. That's what that change needs to be. That we have no more disposition to do evil. that we put those things behind us. And have that desire to do good continually. That's what we need to do in our life. Have that desire. To change. Whatever might be amiss in our lives. And I know that we can do it. With the help of our Lord and Savior. He has promised us that. That He would always be there for us. To uplift us and to strengthen us. But the choice is always ours, isn't it? Every day when we get up, we make those choices of what we're going to do that day, what we're going to do in our life. If we're going to make that change for good or not. And I pray to the Lord that each one of us will be diligent in this endeavor. That we will have that desire in our hearts to make those changes in our life that will put us on that straight course to lead us to our Lord and Savior. I thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Choose number 36 to close our service today. Number 36. heads. Our Father in heaven, we're truly thankful for the time that we spent together, for the words that you've given us. I pray, Father, be able to apply them to our lives so we'd be able to make those changes that perhaps are necessary to live a more righteous life and to assure our place in thy kingdom. Continue, Father, to pray for the sick and the afflicted, for our sister Chandra and her need, for our sister Melissa, that you would heal her of her affliction. I pray, Father, that you would guide our thoughts and our desires and our footsteps before thee. I pray, Father, that you would keep us safe in thine arms. I pray, Father, that you would be mindful of our needs, be mindful of our weaknesses, and that you would accept our thanks for the many blessings we've received. And I ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.